to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 83 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to talk to Jimmy all about being a travel agent and what the travel agents can do for us. We did this maybe one time last year around the 20s, but we figured it's such a great topic and we have so many new friends that it'd be worth revisiting. So, let me introduce Jimmy. Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic, and I would first like to say happy birthday, Sam.
Definitely.
Wish you'd be here, buddy. I know you're somewhere probably having a bourbon and enjoying yourself, but we miss you.
Yep, very much so. And you can definitely listen to the end this week, Sam, and you'll hear a little special birthday surprise. So happy 75th.
That's awesome.
Right. Well, anyway, so tonight's show is going to be about Jimmy's travel agency and what they can do for us. Now, Jimmy has a travel agency called Once Upon a Time Travel, and you might have heard that name once or twice because it is one of the sponsors of our show. And what we're going to do today is throw some questions at Jimmy and kind of get an idea of what the travel agencies can do for us. Because what's so cool about this is they're really there to help us, and the cost is zero. So, Jimmy, Once Upon a Time Travel, how long have you guys been around?
I guess about two and a half years now. I mean, I was just looking, you know, the Facebook app on the phone has the little jump back feature where it tells you about memories and stuff of things that happened two or three years ago. And I think it's been a little bit over 2 years. I saw that I was sharing your original podcast with the kids, and that's how we met, was me contacting you about advertising on your other podcast. So we were around for a few months before that, so I guess about 2.5 years.
As far as the travel agency goes, are you hired by Disney or are you on your own?
I am on my own. I actually work for, well, I work. We work for ourselves, but we operate under what is called a host agency. And basically what that is that they keep all the credentials and all the vendors, all that stuff is kind of set up for you. And you kind of split the commissions and stuff with them. It's a generous split on our side, but rather than getting into the travel industry and having to figure out all those things, there's actually a community of people that operate under this host agency that has message boards and stuff like that. Like I specialize in Disney, obviously, because that's what I know. But as a travel agent, I can also book cruises. I can book all-inclusive trips. I can book, I mean, just about anything you can think of, I can book. With that being said, I'm not a specialist on all of those things. But if somebody wanted to do one of those, if somebody wanted to do an all-inclusive trip to Mexico, although I'm not an expert, because I'm operate under this host agency, there's hundreds of travel agents that operate, and there's message boards, and I can go ask questions and get educated on all of those things and make sure that I guide my client in the best possible direction.
Okay, great. And for all our listeners, I'm sure being the Disney expert is going to help us a lot.
Yeah, and one of the things I like to tell people is, you know, I obviously, believe me, I didn't get into this for the money. We do make a couple extra bucks a year doing this, but it's more about my passion for Disney and helping people plan their trips. We were doing it long before we had the travel agency, just because we were known as the people in the neighborhood and the people in the family who were crazy about Disney, were Disney nerds. So, you know, so I decided, you know what, let's look into maybe being travel agents. And I knew somebody else that was doing it, and they kind of pointed me in the direction of this host agency, and got signed up with them and went through all the training for Disney. And there's hours and hours and hours and hours of training available out there. Obviously, I don't take it all. I just took the Disney training. But there's also training on everything else. So where if somebody wanted to do something, I have done some of the Carnival and Royal Caribbean training too, because those cruise out of New Orleans, which is local. So I have booked some Carnival cruises. So I did some of their training as well, just to get a good basic understanding.
Okay, is there a certification that the Disney company actually gives you guys?
Yes, you get a certificate for passing the Disney College of Knowledge. So we have to get that. You have to in order to be able to book through Disney's website. Which when we book a trip, if you book a trip with me, I book your trip directly through Disney's travel agent website.
So it's no different than really actually calling the Walt Disney Company and talking to their travel agents.
I'd venture to say that I have more knowledge about Disney, not than all of them, because some of them have been there for a long time, and some of them, I mean, as we know, just going to the parks, a lot of people that work for Disney are huge Disney fans, but some of them aren't. Some of them it's just a job, and I would tell you that I know more than some of them. I wouldn't say all of them, but I know more than some of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I can kind of attest to that, where I've called and gotten some very knowledgeable people. Other times, it was just somebody just reading off the computer screen for me.
Sure.
So, well, that's good to hear. I like the idea of the qualifications and the certifications. That totally kind of puts me at ease as far as using a travel agency outside of Disney.
When people look into a travel, there's so many of us out there that are travel agents, especially in these groups and things. And a lot of people wonder, how do I pick a travel agent? There's so many of you guys. How do I pick one? Well, I mean, it's really hard to say, but I would say the number one thing is referrals. You know, when people ask that question, I say, look, I do a Disney-related podcast. I run with Ed, and you say we run a Disney group with 14,000 members. We've been around. We've been doing the podcast over a year. I am obviously not going anywhere. The other part is that when someone books a trip with us, we book that on Disney's website, and when we process a payment, we also process a payment on Disney's website. So when it shows up on your credit card statement or your debit card statement, it shows up as Walt Disney World Resort. It doesn't show up as Once Upon a Time Travel. You're just giving me the information to pass to Disney.
Okay, well, that's good to hear, and that makes it more official. But what am I getting more from you than I would from a Disney operator?
You know, I think one of the main things is that you're getting, first of all, you don't have to call Disney and hold. You can shoot me a text or an email for any request and I'll help you. The other thing is I can help you with your dining and fast passes. One of the biggest things I see when these discussions come up in the groups on whether or not to use a travel agent is, well, I don't like, one of the biggest things against it is that, well, I don't want to use a travel agent because I don't want to lose control. Well, you don't lose any control by using a travel agent. I can be, as your travel agent, I can be involved with your trip as much or as little as you would like me to. I have some people that call me and say, hey, I want to book a trip. I book it for them. Boom, they're done. They handle all their planning on their end. They can still book their dining reservations. They can still book their fast passes. They can still do all the planning themselves. But on the other side of that, I also have some clients that want me to do all of it for them. Hey, I want you to, you know, I'm going to book my trip. You know, here's a pretty good idea of what we want to do. Can you make this happen? And I can book the dining. I can book your fast passes. I typically, personally, I don't like, not that I don't like to do it. I recommend that most of my clients book their own fast passes. And the only reason is because when you go to book fast passes, you're presented with some options. And my choices may not be the same as yours. Now, if you want me just to do it, I'd be happy to do it. But some of those choices are kind of personal, and a lot of them are kind of personal preference.
Right. And the way that Disney's website has been going, it's becoming more user-friendly. So I can understand that. However, it's not user-friendly until you learn how to use it. And believe it or not, there's a little bit of a ramp-up. So I can understand where having somebody to help me out with that is going to be beneficial.
Oh, definitely. And not only that, but just my experience. You know, not just as a travel agent, but my experience as a park guest. I mean, I've gone to Disney, you know, I don't know exactly how many times now, but either 15 or 18 times. I've pretty much gone twice a year for the past, I don't know, almost 9 or 10 years. So I go a lot. I have a lot of knowledge of Disney. And not that the people at Disney don't, but they can only give you the company line. They're not going to give you personal advice. They're not going to tell you, you know, one thing is not that great.
Right. Or during Illuminations, make sure you're standing upwind.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. They're not going to tell you those things. With them, you ask them, everything will be great. Because that's they have to be. They're going to give you the company line.
Sure. Okay. Well, I tell you what. Can you run us through a typical sequence of booking a trip and what happens as we do it? If I gave you the dates, what would happen next?
Okay, so you give me the dates. We'd find out exactly how many people you're traveling with, which would give us somewhat of an idea of where you need to stay. If you have four, that pretty much leaves all options available. If you're traveling with five, and when I say five, it's adults and children. Infants do not count in the equation. So five kind of changes things because you can't really stay at a value resort with five people unless you stay in a suite. So at that point, you at least have to go to a moderate, which would either be Port Orleans Riverside has some rooms that sleep five. Caribbean Beach has, I think a lot of their rooms now sleep five since they've been remodeled. And then the cabins at Fort Wilderness sleep five, at least five.
Right. And isn't that the fifth bed that's usually hidden in the room somewhere?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while since I've stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, but we stayed there a few times, and it was always a trundle bed. So it slid out from one of the other bed closest to the door. But this last trip we went on, we stayed at Caribbean, and it was an actual Murphy bed that actually folds out from underneath the TV. There's like a dresser and there's a little bench there, and it folds down, which is actually in my opinion, a good bit nicer than the sleeping on the floor on the Murphy bed.
Oh, sure. Okay, so I've told you my dates. I've picked my hotel based on how many people I'm coming with. What's the next thing?
So then we would probably have a discussion. Once I know how many people, I would probably have a discussion about your budget. You know, what are you anticipating? What are you looking for? And then we'll kind of go from people to budget to resort choices. With that being said, if you said, hey, man, my budget's $8,000, that doesn't mean I'm going to stick you in the $8,000 price range. If you tell me it's $8,000, I'm going to say, okay, well, here's your options. You can do this, and this is what it'll be. You can stay at Contemporary for that, but you could also stay at a moderate for less.
Right.
So I'll present you with some options, and we'll go over all the details, such as, you know, dining plan, how many days of tickets, which dining plan is going to be best for you, if any, because it's not one size fits all. Travel insurance is a big one, and Memory Maker.
Okay, that sounds good. That's a heck of a list. Now, once I decide on all those different things, and I'm like, okay, this is my date, this is all my details, what happens next?
So I'd give you a couple quotes on two different rooms, say, hey, it would be this X amount of dollars for, let's say it'd be $6,000 or $4,000 for, you know, Contemporary in a Garden View, or you could stay for $3,800 or $3,500 in Port Orleans Riverside. And so then we kind of just narrow it down to exactly what you want, and we get you an exact quote. Once that happens, you can book. you can go ahead and book the room with a $200 deposit.
Okay. So when do I have to pay the balance?
Balance has to be paid 45 days before check-in. And up until that point, you can make payments as little as $20.
Okay. Nice. Now, you can book everything as far as packages, tickets, and such like that?
I can sell you tickets. I can book packages for you. For people with annual passes, if you just want to do a room only, I can do that for you. I just booked a couple room onlys for clients. One in Disneyland and a couple in Walt Disney World. I don't mind. I don't mind doing any of it.
Okay. Now, once I book the trip with you, is that it? Everything stays the same? That's the price when I get to the park?
Depends. Sometimes there are... This is one of the other huge advantages of booking with a travel agent is that sometimes there are special deals that come out down the line after you book. And Disney's not... If you book directly with Disney... They're not going to call you and tell you a special deal came out. We're going to lower your price. But I keep an eye on that stuff. And when my clients are traveling, so when those things come out, I'm on the phone with Disney or on the computer trying to adjust those packages to either A, could be save your money. B, it could be the money stays the same, but you get free dining. Or sometimes C, and it's the money stays the same, but you get a little nicer resort. So it could be any one of those things. Sometimes the price goes up a little bit, but, you know, hey, look, this is what happened. This special came out, and I was able to get you from Caribbean Beach to the Contemporary, and it's only going to cost you $200 more. Now, you always have the right to stay at Caribbean Beach, but for $200 more, who wouldn't want to stay at the Contemporary?
Oh, sure, definitely. Now, I think I saw a little of excitement last week or the week before with that free dining announcement.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool because I think I saw one of our friends on the Facebook page had a big savings with that.
Like $1,000.
Yeah, that's incredible how that happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to adjust some things on her trip a little bit and jog some things around and change her resort. But, I mean, you know, those things are minor details. You know, if you're planning on staying at All-Star Movies, but I say, Ed, you know, hey, I had to move you to All-Star Music, but I'm going to save you $1,000. You'd be like, you know what? I'll sleep in a box if you're going to save me $1,000.
Seriously.
Right?
Actually, we have an email, too. Now, we're getting a lot of email questions, and it's pretty cool, and we thank you very much for writing them in. And we're kind of saving them for shows that they actually fit, and this one actually kind of fits the questions about travel agency, or travel agent. So this email is from Mary from Kansas, and Mary or anybody else that writes, try to give us a city. We would like to get a little closer so we could spot our fans and see where you're at. Well, anyway, Mary writes, hi guys, we've listened to the show since number 44, and we love it. We're going to the parks this November and had a question. We've always stayed at the value resorts, as in the Pop Century. With the next trip coming up, though, we want to consider a moderate. What's the big difference between the moderate and the value? Now, she also talks about some specifics on her dates, which I don't want to put on the show, and then finishes up with, we're keeping track of your show. We can't wait for the next one to come out, and we really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Well, Mary, we really appreciate you writing that email. And Jimmy, well, tell us, what's the big difference between those values and the moderates? You did mention a couple of things so far.
So, first of all, the rooms are going to be a little bit bigger in the moderates. To say they're a lot, I mean, they're not much bigger, but they are a little bit bigger. I can tell you one of the cool things that Caribbean was, and the reason I bring Caribbean up because I just stayed there, but lately they've added like a curtain to cover the little where the sinks and stuff are and the values. At one time those wasn't even there, but they had curtains in the moderates. Now they've put in curtains in the values, and the moderate, the Caribbean, actually has little sliding doors.
Oh, nice.
Another cool thing is that they have two sinks. So it's a little easier, especially if you got four people, to get ready in the morning, especially with the kids and stuff. They're up brushing their teeth, you know, fixing their hair, stuff like that. You've got two sinks. So they are a little bit bigger. They're typically a lot more spread out and not as crammed. They typically have multiple bus stops, and the bus stops are covered. That's a big deal. If it's sunny out or drizzling, or while you're standing out there waiting for a bus, there's benches. You can kind of sit down underneath a cover and wait for the bus. The moderates will have a sit-down restaurant. Everyone except for Port Orleans Riverside, I don't think, has a sit-down restaurant, but you can walk. I mean, Port Orleans French Quarter doesn't have a sit-down restaurant, but you can. But those guests can walk over to Riverside and use boat rides. Another thing is indoor lounges. Port Orleans Riverside and French Quarter have an indoor lounge. Caribbean does not. I'm not sure about Coronado, but if I had to guess, I would say they do. And there was some talk about Caribbean getting one pretty soon. You think of what else? Oh, pools. The pools are typically going to be much nicer at a moderate versus a value. Not that the pools are bad at a value in any way, but the ones at the moderates will have things like water slides and water features and stuff like that. They're themed a little better.
Right, and that depends on what you want. I mean, I love the Pop because there's so many different pools that it doesn't seem like they ever get crowded.
And that's another thing at the moderates. I'm not sure about Coronado. I've never stayed there, but Caribbean and Port Orleans Riverside, they have the main pool, which is almost at Caribbean. It's right behind Old Port Royal, where the food court and all is. At Riverside, it's on its own island. It's called Old Man Island. They have hot tubs there, but also they have quiet pools at the moderates, which are just little basic square pools.
Oh, right. That's right. By the mansions over at Riverside, they had the one.
They have them in Alligator Bayou as well. So a lot of times you're closer to a quiet pool, where if you just want to get back to your room and just go take a swim at night and not do the whole excursion over to the main pool, it's kind of nice.
Oh, definitely. Now, can you generalize the price breakdown between a moderate and a value? I know they change over the course of a year.
And they do, and all the moderates are different a little bit. Caribbean and Coronado tend to be a little bit cheaper than Port Orleans. I will tell you, let's just say for instance, a week vacation at some time during October, the moderate could be anywhere, I would say, from $250 to $500 more.
Okay.
For a week.
Sure.
So a lot of times, I mean, just depending on the client, a lot of times if they have young children, I almost prefer, even if they want to spend a little more money, to me the values are themed so well for little children. There's all those great icons and stuff that they're, especially All-Star Movies, which is my personal favorite value resort. I know a lot of people like Pop, and I don't have anything against Pop. We stayed at Pop not long ago, and it's really nice too. I mean, I haven't had a bad experience in any of them. I just like movies because Disney has such a long story, history in movies, that there's a lot of recognizable figures. You have the Fantasia buildings, the Toy Story buildings, so there's a giant Woody and a giant Buzz Lightyear there. So it's a lot of identifiable, especially for little kids, a lot of identifiable objects.
Right.
Where Pop, some of the kids might not get some of the stuff at Pop. I mean, there's a giant foosball table. It's cool, but there's not as much of a Disney tie there.
Oh, sure. No, I agree. I have to explain some of those things to the kids, the 70s and the 60s stuff. What's right. The 8-track?
Right. What is what that? Is an yeah, what is that?
Cool. And again, thank you very much, Mary. We appreciate the email. I hope we got you the answer you wanted.
Oh, one other thing, just real quick. You bet the beds and the linens and the towels will also be a little bit nicer at a moderate than the values.
Cool. Hopefully that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you pay more, so.
Sure.
But that being said, I just want to make sure people understand. If I go on 10 trips, on 8 or 9 of them, I'm staying at a value. And for me, it's just because we don't spend a lot of time in the room, and it's hard to justify spending an extra $300-$400 to stay at a moderate. And it's not, it's not necessarily, I guess, about the money. It's just I start to think, what else can I spend that $300 or $400 on? Is that a nice meal? Is that the difference between, you know, that's the difference between a meal at Ohana and a meal at La Salle, or, you know.
Sure.
So starting to justify those things. So the last time we went, we stayed at Caribbean because we brought my nephew, so it made us five, so we didn't have a choice.
Right. Okay, well, very cool. Thank you very much, Jimmy. Can you give us your information if we want to get in touch with you?
Sure. The best thing to do, I mean, you can easily shoot me a message on the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page. That goes straight to my phone. Probably Ed gets them too, but he'll just ignore it. You can email me at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com or look me up on Facebook. It's Jimmy Horn, H-O-R-N-E. And my little avatar thing is the podcast logo, so it's pretty easy to find.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks a lot for that information, Jimmy. I really appreciate hearing that again. It's always good to get some of this information and just have it kind of in your back pocket when you're planning a trip.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, and thanks for listening, everyone out there. We'll be back next week with a full set of hosts and a new show topic. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Special day, you're looking great,
so great,
come celebrate, happy birthday from us to you,
oh, from the place,
yes, from the place where dreams do come true,
so here's a wish, in 1, 2, 3, 4, part harmony,
happy birthday.